Baruch HaMabayim, welcome back. We haven't had this year for a few weeks. It is wonderful, really wonderful, Chazdei Hashem, to be back in the Heichel giving this year Parshas Noach. The Ribbono Shel Olam should allow all of us, some people join in the Heichel, some people listen on the phone, some people listen to the recording once it's sent out. All of us, we should be zoiche to enjoy and learn and grow and get chizuk from the parsha each and every week throughout all of the Chamishei Chumshei Torah, be able to start it, to learn it, and to be zoiche to go through it, gesunta heit, in the very best of health. It's really, really wonderful, b'chazdei Hashem, to be able to have resumed the shiurim after the Yomim Tovim. I hope, Ezes Hashem, we're all zoiche to a good gebenchti yor, a gesunta yor, a gesunta winter, a winter with gesunt. The Parsha Insights each and every week, it's sponsored L'Zecher Nishmas U'Le'ili Nishmas Rebecca Basarina, as well as Leon Ben Rachel. We're mispalled their neshama tahira should have a lichtig Gan Eden. If at any point somebody would like to sponsor any one of the Parsha Insights shiurim, either from the people who are here or the people who listen to the recording, once it's sent out, wherever the people might be, you could absolutely have the schus of sponsoring the shiurim, and Be'ezus Hashem should give chizuk to a tremendous number of people. Parshas Noach, we have to focus on the dimensions of the Teva. If you take a look in the very beginning, right away we're told the dimensions of the Teva, it was 300 amma, that was the length. It was 50 amma in the width, 30 amma in the height. And then we're told in the next pasuk to Zion, Tzoyar Tasel HaTeva, there was an amma of a window on the top. Let's repeat the dimensions again quickly, because it's going to be a large part of the focus of the shiur tonight. One of the things we've mentioned in the past, extraordinary, absolutely spectacular regarding the dimensions. And then I want Be'ezus Hashem to add a number of inyanim. Let's repeat what we were just told in the beginning of the parsha. It was 300 amos long, the Teva. It was 50 amos wide. It was 30 amos high. And there was one amma of a window at the top. What's the significance of these precise dimensions? And there are many, mamish rabbeisai, countless pshatim that are brought down explaining the importance of these dimensions. Let's mention a couple of the pshatim tonight. In Sefer HaLekach V'Alibuv, Rebbe Avram HaLevi Shor Zalar Gesundten Starkzayim brings down from his father, Rebbe Gedalia Shor Zecher Tzadik Livracha, something very, very special. Mamish Adover Nifla Adma Oid. He begins by teaching us that the ra, the evil, the bad that's found in the world, it primarily comes from two sources. There is a malach. We don't generally pronounce the name of the malach. Some call it the malach sam, or if one is pronouncing the whole thing, it's sam, samach mem, and then followed by the aleph and lamed. Of course, kel representing Hashem's name. Every angel has that, whether it's Michael, Gavriel, Raphael, Uriel. All of the angels obviously have at the end of the name the aleph lamed, which represents the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Additionally, this malach that represents the evil, the ra, it's the malach of Samach Mem, followed by the two letters, the Aleph and Lamed, as well as that which we spoke about last week in Parshas Bereishis, the Nochash HaKadmoini, the original serpent. The Nochash brought the classic case of Lashon Hara into the world, causing Adam and Chava to sin, bringing death into the world on the very first day of creation. So, on the very basic level, we have to understand that the ra in the bria, the bad and the evil in the world, primarily stems, as we said, from the malach, the one we mentioned, sam, followed after the samach and mem by the letters of Hashem's name, the aleph and the lamed, as well as the nachash hakadmoni. However, you have to realize that all of the ra in the world, all of the bad generally, and I'm quoting, ein laikiyum beli sheyiya bi nitzut shel toiv. There has to be a nitzut shel toiv, a deep concept, a spark of toiv, of goodness, that allows it to exist, that gives it life. So although we understand it as bad and as evil, which indeed it is, but at its source, the Ra only has a kiyum, only is able to sustain itself by the spark of Toiv, the spark of goodness inherent within it that gives it life. That's the chelek of Hashem, the chelek Elokai Asher Bekirbo, the godliness that's within that. And that's what it means when we say it every day in davening. It's taken from the pasuk in Nehemiah, V'ato Nechaye Es Kulam. We say those words in the morning right before the Az Yashir. V'ato Nechaye Es Kulam, a pasuk from the Navi Nehemiah. What it means when we say V'ato Nechaye Es Kulam is that there is goodness, the chelek of Hashem, within everything, although the evil stems from these two. Now the Arizal brings down, within the two items we just mentioned, the Malach and the Nachash, which is the part that's inherently evil? Let's separate, if you will, the evil from the part, the nitzutz, of goodness that gives it its sustenance. The Arizal tells us when it comes to the Nachash, it is the letter Ches. The letter Ches is the letter that represents the Ra, the evil, within it, as opposed to the Nun and the Shin, the first and last letter of Nachash, those two letters representing the goodness. In fact, Arizal tells us, you see a remez to this, because Chazal tell us regarding the Nachash, Eres Nachash Bein Shinav, which literally means that its venom is Bein Shinav between its teeth, but it could also be read as a play on words, Eres, the venom, that which spews evil, Bein Shinav, is between the Shin and the Nun. And what's the letter in Nachash that's between the Shin and the Nun? The Ches. So the middle letter Ches is inherently evil. Now obviously when it comes to the Malach, there we could figure out where the evil comes from. It comes from the first two letters, the Samach and the Mem. Of course not the last two letters, for the last two letters, the Aleph and the Lamed, represent the name of Hashem. So what we've accomplished so far after setting the premise that Reb Gedalia Shor tells us and the Arizal shares with us is that within these two items that are evil, the source of the evil in Nachash comes from the Ches, as we said, not from the Nun and the Shin, Bein Shinav, that was between the Nun and the Shin, which is the Ches. And when it comes to the Malach, obviously the evil stems from the letters Samach and Mem. So what have we done so far? We have put the evil on one side, and we are trying to distance it from that which is inherently good. Meirai v'rabbeisai, Halekach v'alibov brings down so beautifully, let's analyze the Dor HaMabul, the generation that deserves the flood. If you take a look at the very end of Parshas Bereishis, which we heard this past week laned so beautifully, at your Einikul's Bar Mitzvah, you should continue to have give bench the Zisa Yiddish and Achas. The Pasuk at the end of Bereishis tells us, Hashem saw regarding this Dor HaMabul, take a look at Perek Vav, Pasuk Hey. It says, Rak Ra Kol Hayoim. Rak Ra Kol Hayoim means that all machshavos libo rak ra kol hayoyim, everything, every product of the thoughts of their heart was evil all the time. Rak ra kol hayoyim. That's a very powerful statement. The Imri Emes teaches us. We just learned that within the evil there is that nitzutz of good. Apparently, we're being taught by the Dor HaMabul that was not the case. By the Dor HaMabul, let's repeat those four words again. Rabbi say, look at them inside Perek Vav Pasuk Hey. Rak Ra Kol Hayoyim. It was totally evil always. Meaning to say there wasn't any of the nitzus of inherent goodness. In fact, the Imri Emes tells us a fabulous proof. If you wrote down on a piece of paper those four words, Rak Ra Kol Hayoyim, what's the last letter of those four words? The last letter of Rak is a kuf, ra is an ayin, kol is a lamed, hayoim is a mem. Rearranging those letters, it spells Amalek. Rak ra kol hayoim, that which is totally evil throughout always, is Amalek. And that's why Amalek cannot have a kiyum in the Bria. Why can't Amalek have a kiyum in the Bria? There can't be an existence of Amalek. Why not? Because they're totally bad, kol hayoyim, without any of that which we mentioned when we started this year, the nitzutz of toiv, to give it existence. If you don't have the nitzutz of toiv to give it existence, then it's only evil. If it's only evil, it cannot have a kiyum. Hence, Amalek cannot have a kiyum, as indicated in the last letter of those four words. He continues so powerfully, and he tells us that was the Dor HaMabul. Oy, my other Rabbeisai, the Dor HaMabul had reached such a level, Shaloi Hoya Lahem Nekuda Shel Toiv Klau. There was not even a Nekuda of Toiv in the Dor HaMabul that was left. It was, in other words, Rak Ra Kol Hayim. It was completely ra and evil, without any of that nekuda, without an iota of that nitzutz of toiv to give it a kiyum and to give it an existence. That was the ra of the Dor HaMabul. Rabbi Yisai, I believe we said earlier that which is totally ra in the nachash is the ches. That which is totally ra in the angel is the samach and the mem, all evil, no good. The pasuk tells us in the beginning of Parshas Noach, take a look, the pasuk says, pasuk yud aleph, perek vav, pasuk yud aleph, the last three words, the pasuk begins by telling us, v'tishoches haaretz lefnei Elokim, speaking about how corrupt the world became. What are the last three words? Vatimaleha aretz chamos, the earth became filled with chamos, with robbery, with everything that was bad. How do you spell the word chamos? Ches, mem, samach. Precisely the three letters that represent the entirety of evil without any nekuda, without any mitzvah of goodness. We said from the nachash, it was the middle letter, the ches represented the evil. From the angel, we said, what was it? It was the mem and the samach that represented the evil. When those three letters are put together, vatimolei ha'aretz chamos, representing all of the evil, and that's the level, the Dor HaMabul, once again, chamos, ches mem samach, being the ches from the nachosh, the mem and the samach from that angel. And then he concludes so beautifully, Noach had to enter the teva, and the teva that he built and that he had to remain in, which we're going to get in a moment to why we needed the teva, but let's first finish this pshat, which is extraordinary. Mamish adover nifla ad ma'oid. He built the teva, and he had to remain in the teva. The teva was to represent all of the goodness. Since we just said that the Dor HaMabul was rak ra kol hayoyim, end letters Amalek. Since we just said that the Dor HaMabul was so corrupt, vatimalei oretz chomos ches mem samach, which was removing, that's all of the evil. When you remove all of the evil, Meirav Rabbeisai, what are the letters that are left? What are the letters from the nachash and from the angel that are left that represent pure goodness, entire goodness, 100%. Well, when you take a look at the nachash, it's not the ches, so you're left with the nun and the shin. That's pure goodness. From the angel, you're left with, of course, the name of Hashem, the aleph, and then the lamed. Once again, pure toiv. Meirav Rabbeisai, when we started this year, we asked, why did you need the dimensions of the teva to be specifically 50 by 300 by 30? and one on the top. Take a look at the letters that remain from Nachash and the angel. Once you remove the evil, the table became the haven of goodness, the haven to save you. What were the dimensions of the teva? The teva was 50 wide. 50 is nun. That's the nun from Nachash. The teva was 300 long. 300 is shin. That's the shin from Nachash. The teva was 30 high. 30 is lamed. That's the lamed from Hashem's name. And on the top there was a window that was an amma, one amma. That's the aleph from Hashem's name. Pile, 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 ployim. The dimensions of the table were specifically 300 by 50 by 30 by 1, because those represent all of the letters of total, total, total goodness. Once the inherent evil has been removed, which it was in the Dar HaMabel, Rak, Rak, Kol HaYoyim, Batimalei Arts Chomos, so we had to distance ourselves and go into a teva, go into a haven, a safe cocoon, a cheder atum that could protect us. It had to be totally, totally good. Hence, the dimensions were very specific. Once again, from Nachash, the goodness is the nun and the shin. The nun representing the 50 of the width. The shin representing the 300 of the length. And of course, from the name of Hashem, the Aleph and the Lamed representing the 30 of the height, and the Aleph, the one representing the window, the one Amma on top. That was the Teva. The Teva was to be the cocoon, the Cheder Atum, the safe haven of total, total goodness that Noach and his family had to immerse themselves in, to be protected from a world that was rak ra kol hayayim, to be protected from a world that was v'timolei ha'aretz chomos. Does some of that sound like the world that we live in today? Does some of that sound on a similar level, a world that's corrupt? A world where, as we mentioned before Rosh Hashanah, the moral compass is not broken, it is shattered. A world that the values, unfortunately, are so spiraling out of control at such a rapid pace. The antithesis of a Torah Yid and our proper values. The sum of that world, unfortunately, sounds familiar to us. Listen to an extraordinary pshat based on a Zohar. And then Reb Yaakov Galinsky, the Magid, Zeichet Tzadik, V'Kolish of Rocha, adds an explanation to the Zohar. And then you'll revisit the questions I asked a moment ago. Does it sound similar to our type of world? Or at least on some level where all of the values and the morals and the ideals seem to be changing so negatively at such a rapid pace, Rachmana Litzlan. Listen to what the Zohar tells us. I found this to be an extraordinary pshat. And I really felt when I learned this pshat that it was speaking to me, and it's speaking to each and every one of us. So hopefully you'll appreciate it as well. If one takes a look in the Gemara in Zvachim, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, there the Gemara in Zvachim tells us that although the waters of the Mabel, the flood, penetrated throughout the world, the waters of the Mabel did not penetrate Eretz Yisrael. Take a look in the Gemara in Zvachim. If that's the case, the Zohar asks what you might think is an obvious question, or at least something we should be asking, then why did Noach have to leave the land? If according to the Gemara in Zvachim, the May Mabel did not penetrate Eretz Yisrael, then why was even building a Teva Bechlal necessary? If the waters of the flood never reached Eretz Yisrael, then why did he have to build the Teva? Why did he have to leave the land at all? So the Zohar answers, you're right. The actual waters of the flood didn't enter Eretz Yisrael. But because of the flood, there was such an extreme change in climate from the wind, from the heat, from the torrential rains, that change in climate made it that it was impossible to live in Eretz Yisrael. You're right, there was no actual flood there. But as a result of the backlash, as a result, if you will, of the side effect, one, it wasn't able to live in Eretz Yisrael, it became impossible. Azei Zok the Zayar, explaining the Gemara in Zvachim, it wasn't the water itself, but it was, as we said, the effects, the backlash, the side effects that made it impossible because of the climate change to live there. So the well-known Magid Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky, says so powerful. What we need to take out from that Zayar is, that means that when there's a flood in the world, the effect of the flood is so all-encompassing that it doesn't only consume the immediate area, but all of the surrounding area geographically gets affected as well. The Mela Nayach had to build a teva, for without it, that part of the world, he and others would have perished as well from the effects of the backlash and the side effects of the flood. It's not only the immediate area, but geographically all surrounding areas. And he then says, isn't that true in Ruchnius as well? Sometimes there could be someone who is trying to maintain and protect their spiritual integrity, to maintain their levels of fine levels they've achieved in Ruchnius. And they might think to themselves, well, I'm safe where I am. The moral decay in society is not going to reach me. I'll be able to survive. I am where I am. It is where it is. It will remain there. I'm geographically not going to be affected. In my spiritual quest for greatness, I won't be affected. And Mamela, we don't have to worry. Sometimes a person might think that, and obviously, you know, regrettably, we get so besieged and so inundated and so affected by the tumah, the impurity, the spiraling out of control, the shattering of values. A person has to realize, unless we do something chalila, we have to make sure that we remain safe. Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky takes out from the Zayah the same way that you understand that area over there may not be affected by the flood, but nonetheless, people there can perish because of the backlash and the side effects. That's the way it is in a world where we try to maintain our ruchnius, and yet the side effects, the negativity, the backlash of all of the spiritual, the poison, the tumah, everything that sometimes surrounds us in society, you're going to go ahead and say, no, that's not me. I'm not there. I'm miles away. Even in my mind, I'm miles away. Everyone, chalila, has to be on guard not to be affected. And the answer is to do the same thing that Nayach did, to build a teva. We've mentioned it many times. Our teva becomes our home, our schools, our yeshivas, our bate midrashim, our kailim, the places that we daven, our beis knesses. They must provide us a cheder atum. The same way that Nayach went ahead and created a teva. Why? It didn't reach Eretz Yisrael, but the backlash and side effect would. So he had to create a teva, and as we said earlier in the Pshat of Gedalia Shor Zecher Tzadik Livracha, it was a teva that represented all of goodness. Remember the dimensions, Rabbi Isai, all of goodness. Today, we cannot, chalila, allow ourselves to get affected. Don't be so confident. No, I'm doing well. I'm strong. I'm not like them. I won't be affected from all of the technology and the media and every advancement that spire. I won't be. Really? Without a proper teva, what chance does a person stand? Mayra v'Raboisai, we're starting another cycle of Chamisha Chomshei Torah. Our Teva must be our home. Our Teva must be our yeshivas and our Batei Knesiyos. Our Tevas must be the precious place that our children are learning and we are learning and we are davening. Number one, we must make sure to create those Tevas. And number two, they must be as pure as the Teva that we spoke about with Nayach, where the dimensions were specifically 300 by 50 by 30 by 1, representing all of the Kedusha, all of the purity, all of the goodness. This is a concept that we cannot speak about often enough. We have to keep reminding ourselves. If there's Taka, a marble out there, and if there's Taka, such a spiritual decline in the world at large, how are our Tevas doing? I'm asking you. Our home, our shuls, the places we learn, our schools. A, as I said a moment ago, we must remember that they have to be places that serve as our safe haven, our cheder atum, our cocoon, as well as remembering that just like Nayach's Teva was the ultimate of purity and goodness, as indicated by the dimensions, our Teva as well. We've spoken many times about our home being a place that the Shekhinah would be comfortable in. The way we speak, the way we dress, the way we act, react, and interact. That our shuls be places that we mamish go to daven, to bring about levels of kedusha, levels of achdus. We have to mention once again, being extremely careful not to talk during davening and not to talk when a person is not supposed to talk in the Beis Knesset during davening. We have to be zoiche that when our children go to learn and we go to learn, that we make sure to maintain the proper levels of kedusha, purity, like the Teva of Nayach. And perhaps for the final part of the shir, maybe one of the strongest points I saw brought down from the Sefer Avodas Yisrael B'Shem the Magid. Ending the shir the way we started, if you take a look once again at the dimensions of the Teva, we said that it was 30 high, 300 long, and 50 wide. 30 we know is Lamed, we already said that. 300 we know is Shin. And 50 we know is Nun. The Avodas Yisrael brings down from the Magid so powerfully the 30, the Lamed, by the 300, the Shin, by the 50, the Nun. Lamed Shin Nun is the word Lashon. Lashon, how we speak. How careful a person has to be, and that's why the dimensions of Noach's Teva had to specifically be 30 by 300 by 50, Lamed Shin Nun, representing the word Lashon, the power of the Lashon, the power of speech. The Sefer Alufa Yehuda brings down something, you'll hear it once, you'll mamish, never forget it. The Sefer Alufa Yehuda brings down a remez niflan, extraordinary and scintillating hint to this concept of the importance of words. You know how often we have said that words could mamish kill and harm, do irreparable damage. Words, on the other hand, could bring families and communities and people together. It can repair relationships that have been shattered. How do we use our words? That's why the dimensions of the Teva, the 30 by 300 by 50, the Lamed, the Shin, the Nun, reminds us of the power of the Lashon. In fact, the Sforim tell us that it was the Dor HaMabul that did not properly use the Lashon, and Noach had to create the Teva specifically of those dimensions. Words could be used this way or that way. Says the Sefer Alufa Yehuda, a very famous four words of a pasuk, Moves v'chayim biyad Lashon. Moves v'chayim biyad Lashon, that death and life are in the hands of the lashon, the tongue. What's the first letter of those four words? Maves is a mem. V'chayim is a vav. Biyad is a beis. Lashon is a lamed. Rearranging those four letters, mem, vav, beis, lamed, it spells the word mabul. Maves and chayim are biyad ha-lashon, the rashi tevas of which are mabul. When the words are not used properly, but rather used carelessly, it could create a mabul. It could mamish bring destruction to the world. And as we said a moment ago, not only to where geographically it happens, but what did we say earlier from the Zayar based on the Gemara in Zvachim, Kufyur Gimel? That the damage is not only where it's done, but it has a ripple effect from the backlash and the side effects way, way far away from the geographic epicenter. Didn't we say that from the Zayar? I think we could extrapolate and say that same concept regarding words. Moves and Chaim Biyad Aloshin is Rosh Tevas Mabul. But isn't that true about words as well? I may say the word over here that has a devastating effect. But today, with the push of a button, you could push a button, you could send a text or an email to someone that's so disparaging. You could wipe out a family. You could speak negatively about a community within the matter of seconds through the tweet or the text or the email or whatever it might have been. You mamish could send your words to hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. And it can't be taken back. Can't we apply that same concept of the Zayar to words as well? The Zayar said the devastation and the destruction is not only the epicenter geographically, but it has the effect and reverberates the backlash and the side effects to other area. Hence, Nayach had to make the Teva. And now we're saying the dimensions of the Teva spells the word Lashon, speech. We're saying from the Sefer Alufa Yehuda, Mavas V'chaim Biyad Lashon is Rashi Teva's Mabul. Can't we apply the same concept of the Zayar? A person says a word, he speaks something negative, he speaks about somebody behind their back, he stabs them in the back verbally. He doesn't. It wasn't only said over here. Because that person is now going to send it to thousands who send it to thousands, and within less than a minute, hundreds of thousands have heard, and that person's life may chalila never be the same again. Isn't that the vert of the Zohar? While it may not have happened literally here, I'm here when it was said. This is the epicenter geographically. But the world and back, now through the backlash and the side effect and the words traveling, Mabul, Mavis v'chayim biyad lashon. And that's the importance of a pure teva. You know, Rabbi Yisai, mida teva meruba, something that works negative works in the positive, many, many countless times even stronger. Isn't that true with a good word? A good word encourages a person to kamamish, give them chiyus, it can give them life. It's amazing. You take a look at a child, you give a child a good word, the teacher provides a good word for the child, or the parent does, or a friend does, you can change the trajectory of the child and how they feel about themselves. And if a negative word could destroy, then a positive word could reverberate around the world and bring so much peace and harmony. We know that when Nayach was told, we'll end the way we started, the Pasuk says in the beginning of the Parsha, Tzoyar Tase LaTeva. Literally it means a window. Rashi tells us another pshat, not a window, but a gem. A beautiful gem that shined and brought light. The Sfarim tell us so powerfully, of course the word Teva refers to that which Nayach built. But doesn't the word Teva also mean a word? Teva is a word. And the Pasuk is now telling us, Tzoyar Tase LaTeva. From every Teva, every word, make it a Tzoyar. Make it a light. Make it a gem. Make it a scintillating jewel. We should talk of these Zoycha. Tzoyar Tase LaTeva. Every Teva, every word that we express to somebody, each and every Teva, Tzoyar, make it a gem. Make it a scintillating light. Make it a jewel that lights up not only the person that you're telling it to, but reverberates well beyond the geographic location that you set it to bring peace and harmony to the world. If it works in the negative, it works countless times greater and more, quantitatively and qualitatively, in the positive. We should taka bi zoicha meira v'raboisai, tsoyar tasa la teva, that every teva, every word, every comment we share with a spouse, with a sibling, with a child, with a coworker, with a neighbor, with an unaffiliated Jew, bring them closer to Avinu Shebashamayim. Please, please, please. It should have the positive effect to reverberate around the world in such a beautiful and healthy way. We should be zeicha that our homes and our shuls and our yeshivas and where our children learn be a proper teva, a place that's permeated and saturated with purity. And we should be zeicha be'ezus Hashem through that which is pure and good to that which is ultimately all good, to continue being mekadesh shem shamayim berabim, to be able to serve the Ribbono shel Olam, and then to see the ultimate goodness of the Bayis Shlishi b'mheira b'yameinu. It is wonderful, Chasdei Hashem, to have been able to resume the Parsha Shiurim. We should be zeicha to do it each and every week for Chamishei Chumshei Teira, Gesundheit.